Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we want to welcome you to Grace Christian Center Online. We are so thankful that you're here with us this morning, and we apologize to you for having a few difficulties, but we're here now, and we're here to celebrate with you. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised.
Yes, he is.
Regardless of technical issues, he's still good. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you ready to rejoice and be glad in it?
Yes, I'm ready to rejoice. Definitely ready.
And by the way, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmothers out there who are watching. And, you know, many of us have moms and grandmothers who have gone on to be with the Lord now, and we are so grateful for them, because they've prayed and been burdened for us, giving us over to Jesus for so many years of our lives when we didn't walk quite right. Maybe that doesn't apply to you.
Oh, but yes, it does.
In my life, I know my mom dedicated me to the Lord Jesus since I was, even before I was born, there were a lot of difficulties, and that kind of set me up for life anyway. I remember she telling me over and over again, Kevin, I gave you to Jesus. And the Lord claimed that giving, and I'm so glad that he did. And so we're here to celebrate today with you, and moms, we are grateful for you, and grandmothers, and Pastor Sherry, we're grateful for you. You know, long have the phrase, has the phrase been used for you and of you, a mother in Israel, caring for daughters and sons of the Lord, raising them up, and it means a great deal to us for your ministry for all these years. So again, happy Mother's Day, and thank you.
It's been a privilege, an absolute privilege, and I thank God for my three daughters. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We're going to do a little singing here first, and then Pastor Sherry's got something to share with us from the scriptures.
Oh, great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is he. Lord in glory, here in strength, and great and mighty is he. Oh, great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is he.
Pastor Sherry, you've got some things that the Lord has given you this morning. Share with us from the Word of God, would you please?
I would love to. What a psalm. As I read it last night in preparation for this morning, my gracious, Psalm 57, verses 1 and verse 5. What a blessing for today. Please, God, show me mercy. Open your grace fountain for me. For you are my soul's true shelter. I will hide beneath the shadow of your embrace, under the wings of your cherubim, until this trouble is past. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Not just grace, but a grace fountain for me, for you. It's there. For you are my true shelter. There is no other true shelter. You're it. I'll hide beneath the shadow of your embrace. I love it. I love it. I love it. He's got us right there under his wings, and he's holding us. And I love this, until this terrible trouble is past. Amen. Goes on in verse 5. Lord God, be exalted as you soar through the heavens.
Amen.
May your shining glory be seen in the skies. Let it be seen high above all the earth. That's who our God is. Lord God, be exalted because you take such good care of us.
Amen.
J. Vernon McGee wrote about this psalm, and I just love, you know, I love J. Vernon McGee. He was a great guy. He had his feet solidly planted on the ground.
Yes, he did.
I just love his interpretation of the scriptures and how he applies it to himself and then gives us opportunity to apply it to ourselves. So J. Vernon says, I don't know about you, but my prayer is the same as David's. Oh God, be merciful unto me. I want God to be merciful to me. I don't want him to be just with me and yes. righteous. If he is, I'm going to get a whipping. Me too.
Yeah, I understand.
I want him to be merciful and gracious to me. He is that kind of a God, rich in mercy.
Beautiful.
He has enough for me, and I'm going to require a lot of it, and we all do. But there will be enough for you also. Oh, I'm so thankful. I am so glad that there's enough of his mercy to cover you and cover me. And I'm so thankful that during these troubled times, we can agree with the psalmist. We're going to hide under the shadow of his wings.
Beautiful.
Until this present trouble is overpassed. Amen.
Powerful.
He has us under his umbrella.
He does.
I love it.
He does.
His umbrella covers us and is covering the saints in the world. We're so grateful.
Excellent.
And we're so thankful for all he's done. And this morning we're going to just praise him and love him and love him and love him. And we're really, really thankful that several of you stayed with us this morning.
Amen,
as we got up and running online, some technical difficulties. And we want to say hi to Shanta and Chris and Dan Withers and Stephen Olivito and Chris Cohen and wow. Everybody else, the Josephs, hi there. We're just glad that you're all with us. Let's enter into this time of praise with our hearts uplifted to him, our countenances shining toward him, and our voices singing with everything we've got to him. Amen.
You know,
Pastor Kemp, how about that?
We're grateful every day for all of you and for the team that we have. We miss working with you, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
This morning, but we are just so grateful for who you are as friends and family.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have people who are watching from back east and other places in the state and around the Northwest and some from down in Texas. We're just so grateful to have you with us. But this is the day the Lord has made, and we can hide under the shadow of his wings. They're talking about, you know, they're fearful for fresh outbreaks of COVID, and we're all trying to contemplate when can we go back to our public gatherings, and we are making plans and et cetera. But above it all, great and mighty is he.
Amen.
And we can hide under the shadow of his wings.
He's got us covered.
That's exactly
Amen.
Right. Would you share that verse one more time, your key verse this morning? Before we go back to great and mighty is he, would you please?
Please, God, show me mercy. Open your grace fountain for me, for you are my soul's true shelter. I will hide beneath the shadow of your embrace, under the wings of your cherubim, till this terrible trouble is past.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Great and mighty is he. Oh, great and mighty is he, clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is he. Thanks, Pastor Jerry. Great and mighty is he. Oh, great and mighty is he, clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is he. Let us lift his name up high, celebrate his grace. For he has redeemed our life and he reigns on high. Great and mighty is he. Oh, great and mighty is he. He is mighty. He is great. He is to be glorified and lifted up. And we're just so grateful for who He is and who He is to us and hiding us under the shadow of His wings. What a great God. Mighty is our God. Amen. This morning that the promises of God are yes and amen. You've done so great. Lord, you are in charge, and we thank you that you're the God who does all things well. We pray this morning for any that is ill who are watching this, either this morning or on playback. Father, we pray that the power of the Spirit of God will bring healing and strength and encouragement, Lord Jesus, to them. Let them know they are made whole in the name of Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, we stand against every affliction, any plague. You shall not come nigh our dwelling. You shall not come near us. And we proclaim the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who does all things well. You're the God that heals us. And we thank you, Lord, and worship you this morning. We pray for those who are serving as nurses, attendants, and surgeons, and physicians. Lord, those in the hospitals and doctor's offices, those who are first responders, the law enforcement, the rest who are trying to help us in this really confusing time. Lord, we pray the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, will reveal to this entire earth right now, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the essential service. And we pray, Lord, right now, by the power of the Spirit, there will be a great awakening that takes place. Lord, because we have come to respond to you. As a people, Lord, you've told us in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, if my people humble themselves, pray and turn from their wicked ways, you will hear us from heaven and answer our prayers and heal our land. We do that this morning. We know, Lord God, you're in charge. You stopped the whole world in its tracks, and you're trying to show us we are walking so many in so many evil ways. Forgive us, Lord, for the pornography that gets sent around the world. Forgive us, Lord, for the abuse and the wickedness, the murder. Forgive us for abortion that takes place, oh God, in this country and around the world. So many millions of children slaughtered. We pray the power of the Holy Spirit will, Lord, you'll cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. Forgive us for the drug taking and alcoholism. And Lord, for the covenant breaking we've done in our nation, have mercy on our land, won't you, Lord? Forgive us and heal our land, we pray. Now, Lord, we believe you hear these prayers. As we join together in prayer, we believe you hear us. The Holy Spirit is here to make him real. We love you, Lord. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come to make him real. The Holy Spirit has come our hearts to fill. Oh, what blessing, oh, what power as we yield to him this hour. The Holy Spirit has come. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Holy Spirit has come. Oh, what power. The Holy Spirit has come. The Spirit of the Lord is here. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Presence. We love your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you. We come and yieldedness to you, in surrender to you, in love and adoration to you. We give you, Lord, all freedom in our lives, even today, to speak to us from your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, take your liberty by your Spirit, even to speak to us today. We pray these things, Lord. We're not asking you to leave us alone. We're asking you to continue to be the potter as we are the clay. Continue to fashion and mold us and make us exactly what you want us to be. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. And we surrender in your hands in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. I've shown you this before. Let's see if this can come out in the right way. What is that? That's a big red E. We're making our way to Pentecost. May 31st is Pentecost. And we celebrate that day when the Spirit of the Lord was poured out in the book of Acts chapter 2. And we're making our way there, but we have a few things to quiet our hearts about and resonate with the Spirit of God about as we get there, as Jesus keeps speaking to us and teaching us. There's 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. Penta, of course, in the language is 50. After his resurrection, we see that Jesus was seen by many, as it says, and for 40 days. And he told his disciples then before his ascension to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, clothed upon with a power that he wanted to give them. He talked to them about the Comforter. We talked all about that a week or two ago. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he would send in his place to bring us comfort, strength. He's our teacher. He walks with us, guides us, leads us. And Jesus ascended and he sent the Spirit. So all of us as his people all around the world at one time, the Holy Spirit lives within us and he leads us and prompts us. He says, no, don't go there. Don't do that. Or yes, do this. And what a beautiful relationship our God has given us to enjoy with him. Would you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 25? That's where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning, in Matthew 25. If you have your tablet, your phone, you have your hard copy Bible, it's so good to have a hardcover Bible so you can write in the margins. I know you can do that online as well. I guess I'm old school in that way. But I want to begin by talking about dunamis this morning, because he said that you will be clothed upon with power from on high. And that word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. Now, dunamis, we derive English words from dunamis, the same word. Dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. Dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. And the Greek lexicon, the Thayer's Greek lexicon, says it can refer to a moral power and excellence of soul. But there's something explosive, an explosive power, an energetic power, a compulsion, a propulsion, a passion that he puts in our souls and in our lives. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 declares, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Kevin. I thought the Holy Spirit was already on them. The Lord had breathed on them earlier. They had received the breath of God. But this is an overwhelming baptism, being overwhelmed, the Bible says, immersed in, if you will, the Holy Spirit himself, a baptism. Oh, there's so much more available in the Holy Spirit and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've shared before, I grew up in the church. I really couldn't stand it until I got saved at age 16, really saved. But then I was not told right away about the further power to enable me to walk with him until I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's pouring it out, and this is available to all of his people. Three major outcomes. outpourings of the Holy Spirit of the last century alone. 1902 to 06 at Azusa Street. Revival spread around the world. The Pentecostal churches were birthed from that. The fastest growing churches in the world still are the Pentecostal charismatic churches. South Africa and South America and all around the world, the Holy Spirit is moving. 1948, there was a latter rain outpouring. Not Latter-day Saints, not the Mormons, but the scripture referring to the rain shall come in the former days and in the latter days. And in the latter days, it's going to be an overwhelming rain. And it became known as the latter rain outpouring in 1948. The laying on of hands for healing, praise and worship, and the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, being restored to the body of Christ. All of that through the dunamis. And then in 1967, there was birthed the charismatic renewal. Church, I'm telling you, one of the most major, huge, astronomical outpourings the world has ever seen of the Spirit of God was the charismatic renewal. Don't let anybody minimize that to you. Of all persuasions and backgrounds, people surrendered to Jesus and received his precious baptism. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are still his witnesses today. But see the context of what the disciples had just asked. You have to go back two verses to verse 6 and 7 of Acts 1. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you get rid of these Romans? Is now the time? You've been through all this bad stuff. Now will you let us reign, please? Now will you come onto the throne? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's really, really cool. This is, you know, like our dads or our moms calmed us down. Thank you, Mother's Day calmed us down when we were little kids. Anybody out there ever need calming down? How about still? Yeah, okay. So it's not for you to know, but listen to what Jesus is saying. It's not that the question is bad, guys, but it's the wrong question. There's something, Jesus says, I want to address first. Listen to this quote. Adam Clark quotes Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, and he says this, Chrysostom's words, it's the prerogative of an instructor to teach his disciple, not what he wishes to learn, but what his master sees as best for him. It's the prerogative of an instructor to teach his disciple not what he wishes to learn, but what is best for him. And Jesus is saying, guys, before we get to all that stuff that's on your heart, it's not that it's bad, I've got something to get to first. Now we'll come to a time where Jesus begins to address final things, or now it's going to be an answer to essential things. Right now the big term is essential. You, if you're a pastor or if you're a believer where we can't gather in public gatherings, you may be as frustrated as I am that churches weren't considered essential. Churches are essential. Believers are essential. We have the peace, the answer for life. His name is Jesus. Healing power in his name. And they shut down the public gatherings, which is the very thing that people need. And yet, the Lord has gathered us all together online. And though it may not be as satisfying, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are coming to Jesus through an awakening online. He knows. But essential workers. Now it's time to deal with something essential, Jesus says. At the day of Pentecost, which we're heading, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter stands full of the Holy Spirit in dunamis power, endued with power from on high, just like the Spirit, just like Jesus said would happen. And he preaches a word that changes lives, and 3,000 people get saved that very day. And it bursts the New Testament church. They ask him in Acts 2, 37 through 38, if you're taking notes, Acts 2, 37 and 38. Men and brethren, they say, after hearing Peter preach, they're convicted in their spirits. They say, then what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three essentials addressed by Peter, that very first responsiveness to the Holy Spirit being poured out. We need to prioritize what Jesus prioritizes. Today, stir up your most holy faith. Hunger for Jesus. What are your priorities that you want for my life? What's important to you? All right, let me ask you a question. Let's go into the next section. Are you prepared? Ouch. Kevin, are you prepared? Are we all fully prepared? What if you were to meet your maker this afternoon? I pray that doesn't happen. But are we prepared? Now, in Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, we see the disciples are with Jesus. And the disciples point to the glorious temple and all of the buildings and the courtyard and all the astronomy. It was incredible. We'll talk about Herod's temple in a moment. But they point to it all and say, look at these magnificent buildings. They're so impressed. Look at this, Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 2, there won't be one stone left upon another. It'll all be thrown down. The disciples are stunned, just like somebody had struck them. They're stunned. And this leads us into Matthew chapter 24 and 25, which is known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus answers questions that come to them because they're going to ask him a series of questions. If this is true, when will this be? What are the signs of this? And when are you coming? And when's all this going to happen? But Herod's temple, you need to understand, Herod's temple was an incredible complex, and it consisted of many buildings. It was one of the largest, most magnificent sets of structures in the entire ancient world. It's one of the wonders, if you will. It may not be in the seven wonders of the world, but it was literally incredible. People donated and gave their gold and all of those things from all around the known world to build this temple. Construction had begun under Herod the Great before Jesus' birth. And it was still continuing at this time, about 40 years on this temple. And there was an ostentatious glory to it. And the Jewish people wrongly felt God was with them because the structure was with them. If you recall, Jesus another time said, you know, this temple, it's going to be thrown down, but I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Speaking of his own body, his temple, the temple that was among them was Jesus, and people weren't recognizing it. But this temple, Herod's temple, was made of white marble and brass and gold and white marble. It was huge. It was beautiful. And at the time, it was considered, again, one of the architectural wonders of the world. But it was so glistering, so white, so glorious that in the sunlight, they could barely stand to look at it because it was so blinding to their eyes. The Jews were convinced of the magnificent and permanence of this structure. And Jesus said, that's not what represents God's presence, my Father's presence, but it's what you think it does. What is permanent in man's eyes is not always permanent in God's eyes. I'm sure you know that. Dunamis, being filled with his life, being filled with him versus buildings. Right now, we're all discovering that it's not our buildings that are the glory of God or that houses glory. We knew that, but still it's good that it's emphasized. It's not our buildings that houses glory. When the church gathers, the people gather, then the glory of God is there because he's in us. And then that wood and brass and glass structure becomes filled with the presence of the Lord as we come together. But the stunned disciples ask him then, all right, then, Lord, what will be the signs of the ends of the age, the end of the age? What will be the sign of your coming? And when will this be? Jesus, over the next two chapters, answers this in reverse order, these questions. But as part of his answer, we come to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Five wise and five foolish virgins. Let's go on. We're going to talk Jesus talks about virgins, about lamps, and about oil. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, verse 1, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the righteous, or the bridegroom rather, is coming. Go out to meet him. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. And Jesus concludes this particular section with these words, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Let's break this down just a little bit. Rehearse some of these points. 10 virgins. They were all clean. They all had lamps. That Greek word, because our picture is different of this in 21st century mentality, but let's go back to what it really was. That's the Greek word lampos. Lampos. And it's only used a few times in here, in the scriptures, but in the New Testament, all the evidence points to it being torches. I'll get that word out right. Torches. Sticks wrapped with oil-soaked rags. Now, in many Palestinian villages, even in more recent times, the wedding feast occurs at night after a day of dancing and partying and festivities. Then at night comes the wedding feast. The bridesmaids leave the bride, go out to meet the bridegroom with their torches to light the way back to the bride's house. Then comes the celebration, and then comes the torchlight parade to the groom's house. The bride comes for the groom. The lamps are our hearts, our spirits, are the core of our response to Jesus. And every one of us has a faith, a response, a heart, and a life, a spirit to be filled with him, our very life. Everybody's got lamps. 5 were wise. That means in the Greek, they were thoughtful, they were discreet, they were intelligent, they were prepared. 5 were foolish. Literally in the Greek, that word means they were dull or stupid, like being shut up. They were heedless. And this is kind of funny in the Strong's Concordance, it uses in other words. Morally, they were blockheads. Have you ever felt like you were a blockhead? Apparently, it leads to a meaning like they were absolutely absurd. It is absurd to miss your opportunity to come to Jesus. Why were they absurd? Because they took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The bridegroom is delayed. Now, generations after generations, Jesus is coming soon. Man, I remember when I got saved at 16, we were singing about Jesus coming back, and we sung a song like that many, many times through the years. And every generation has that. I believe the Lord quickens that in our spirits so we stay ready. We stay, it's like being on our tiptoes looking for his appearing. Is the bridegroom coming? So it happens at a time when we're not prepared, the Bible says. But the bridegroom is delayed. That means he lingered. He took his time. And then he returns on his timetable, not ours. I'm saying his timetable, not ours. Have you discovered right now, no matter how much you want to do certain things, if you're blocked, you are unable to do those. And it can be frustrating. You're out of control. But he's in control. It's his timetable, not ours. They all slumbered and slept. The Greek means they nodded off, and then they finally laid down and went to sleep. He tells us to watch and pray. We don't know the exact time. The question some ask is, are we the terminal generation? I mean, you look at the signs, and man, it looks like things are coming together, but I don't know. I don't know if it's 100 years, 125, 150, 200, maybe it's 10 years, 5, 7. I don't know. But what I do know, it is essential that we be filled with his oil and that we be ready and not slumber and sleep. The midnight cry is heard. Go meet the bridegroom is coming. So they all heard. They all arose. They wakened. They aroused. You know, in Noah's day when he was building the ark, they all saw the ark being built. But not anyone besides Noah's immediate family got into that ark by the time God shut the door. I wonder if it was a beautiful day in Washington State today. It's gorgeous weather. If you're on the East Coast, it's not necessarily that way, but we have beautiful, clear weather. I wonder if it was like that on the day when it started raining and people were not hungry. They were just going about their daily lives. They weren't being filled and they weren't prepared. Now, this scripture says they trimmed their lamps. They started working to put their lamps in order. Let me just ask you again, if Jesus were to come back today, are you ready? Is there anything you would feel you needed to get in order in your life in order to be ready? If so, do it. Let me just sneak in a thought here about those of you who may be watching that have difficult or estranged relationships with mothers or grandparents, siblings, brothers, family, now's the time to make sure things are right as much as is possible with you to make it right with them. But are things ready? The foolish then asked the wise, give us some of your oil. Because the King James says their lamps had, past tense, gone out. Everyone has opportunity and decisions to make with Jesus and with the Spirit of God. The oil is, of course, all through Scripture, representative of the Holy Spirit. It's your choice if you want the oil or not. Each person makes their own choice. Jesus uses an illustration in another Scripture about the wheat and the tares grow up together. As they're young, they might look similar. As they get older, it is clear to see there's wheat and there's weeds. The weeds don't fit the master's plan. It's not the food the master wants to give and provide. They don't produce the master's crop. Are you producing the master's crop in your life? He wants us to have a place of genuine surrender and yieldedness to him, where we're separated to him. Now listen carefully to this next scripture, will you? Because it applies. 2 Timothy, if you're writing notes, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. In the last days, there are those with a form of godliness. A form of piety is in the Greek meaning, but not the power thereof. Good people, nice people, people accomplishing many things in lives that help and better our society, but they don't want anything to do with Jesus. But so often in the church it can be that way. Church attender, church goer, but I don't really have Jesus working and rumbling in my spirit, changing my life. It's time to change that. It's time to surrender to Jesus, if that describes you and your walk with the Lord. But I want you to hear in the Greek what that word really means, that verse really means. They have a form of godliness, but not the power thereof, means literally they deny the dunamis. They deny the dunamis. I'll give some lip service to being a Christian in word, but I'm not interested in that power that transforms my life. They want to look the part, but they don't want the Spirit of God to take over in their lives. The wise turn them down, not out of lack of love, but because each of us is responsible for our own oil. And you can't provide for mine, I can't provide for yours. You have to have your own oil. You can only be responsible for yourself. Bottom line, again, you can't bring oil for somebody else's vessel. You've got to have your own filled and flowing. Now's the time. Now's the time. He's still pouring out that oil. Now's the time to have that oil for your lamp before the bridegroom returns. Now's the time to embrace the Spirit of God. Say, Holy Spirit, baptize me afresh. Change me. Prompt me. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me your ways. The Bible says in Psalm 14, the fool says no to God. It's really literally in the Hebrew what that means. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God, literally means no God. Those are foolish things. That's denying the dunamis of the Spirit of God. As we come to a close, let me ask you a question, just kind of a natural illustration. Have you ever run out of gas when you're driving down the highway? I have. Have you? Today's cars, you know, you got gas gauges, lights go on, you got the computer in the engine, and man, it'll tell you right down to the nubs how many miles you got left. But in the old days, I qualify for that, in the old days, your gauge might not have always been accurate, and you could run out. And sometimes, maybe you're like me, sometimes you drive your family crazy in the car with you because you want to see just how far you can get on that tank of gas. Come on, don't deny it. And you got people in the car going, Dad, just pull in and get some gas. Do you know, even today with all our gas gauges, when AAA gets called out to help and for flat tires, dead batteries, you know that one of the things that still comes toward the top of the list is people run out of gas. Do you know that people run out of time? Must have been 30 years ago. My real dad and I were estranged, and we had a reunion meeting of sorts, and I asked him, are you right with Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? And he said, well, Kevin, I'm not there yet. My grandfather was a minister. He said, I loved and respected your grandfather, but when I'm ready, when I get there, oh, I'll really go all out. I'll give my life to Jesus. I couldn't convince him in any other way. On his deathbed, by the grace of God, someone led him to Jesus. He finally gave his life to Jesus. I wasn't able to be with him, but he gave his life to Jesus. But there were decades of walking with Jesus' life that he lost out of. I'm grateful he's in heaven. But how about you? How about me? The result of no oil, they weren't the real deal. Just Christian in name only, not the real deal. They didn't get into the wedding feast. They weren't ready. The Holy Spirit is here this morning to minister to you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, He wants you, loves you. He's got time for you right now. He wants you to give your life to Him. We think of the first responders, fire personnel. You know, they go to bed at night. If they're sleeping in the firehouse, if they're on duty, they lay all their garments out. All their fire clothing is out. The boots are there and everything's ready. They can lay down and go to sleep. But when that alarm calls, when that time comes, they're ready to get up and dress in their outfit to go fight that fire. Are you ready? Are you ready? This morning, I'm going to urge you to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to make that choice. If you've not received His Holy Spirit and you want a deeper relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning as you surrender your life more to Him. Be His disciples. Be taught. Learn of His ways. Be founded in your faith. It's absolutely essential. On our website, gracechristiancenter.us, you'll find a link to launching your faith. It's absolutely free. You can go on there, download materials. There's a few fill-in questions as you listen. It's so easy to do, but you end up with what we call a faith activator as you see what it is you hear, understand, and believe about it. And we're here to help you grow. But give your life to Jesus. The Bible told His disciples to go and make disciples. He wants you established in Him. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely essential. And you'll find lessons in launching your faith on the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. Lessons on the Spirit of God. There's lessons online, gracechristiancenter.us, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about the offices of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. What does all of this mean? He is alive and well. It's not cessationist theology that takes the day. In the Bible, we are continuationists. He's still moving today, and He wants and welcomes you. Renounce every demonic spirit, any demonic thing you've given yourself over to, tarot cards, demonic occult activities. Renounce that. Get your spirit clean. Ask Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you. I'll lead you in that prayer in just a moment. And then ask Him to fill you with His Spirit and enter into praise. Now, you should know that the sign, the most common occurring sign of the result of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the gift of speaking in tongues. It's not the only sign. But that is the most common recurring gift of the Spirit. And you see it all through the Scriptures. Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6, 8, and 10. All of those things take place. And I urge and encourage you. As we're at the end of this message again, I encourage you, go to gracechristiancenter.us or write us, PastorKevinHunter@gmail.com. PastorKevinHunter@gmail.com if you've got any questions. Or PastorSherryHunter@gmail.com. PastorSherryHunter@gmail.com. We'll pray with you. We'll look forward to connecting with you. We'll be here to be of help to you. Let's pray. If you're not saved, pray with me first. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Savior. Just follow after me. I give my life to You. And right now, by faith, I repent of my sins, and I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Now, if you want the Spirit of the Lord moving more fully in your life, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I want Your Spirit flowing in my life more than ever before. Baptize me, Holy Spirit, in Your Spirit. To overflowing. I repent and renounce any sin, any darkness, any occult activity. I push it away from me. And right now, by faith, I receive You and Your fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for Your fresh filling. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so honored that you've been with us today. We have people from time to time ask us about giving. I'm going to summarize three simple ways you can do so. On gracechristiancenter.us, there's a round button, a round dial, if you will, or button. Click on that for digital giving. It goes to a blue page. On the top of the page is a lighthouse. That's the Grace Christian Center logo, the picture there. And then you follow it through, fill it out, and you can give a direct deposit. You can give by credit card, etc. Or you can make out a check to Grace Christian Center and mail it to us here at 240 Maple Lane, Port Ludlow, Washington, 98365. We love you all. And also, when you're online, if you have a need, there is a place for you to be able to go to our prayer teams and fill out a prayer request. We have wonderful, dedicated team leaders and prayer warriors who will pray for you and stand with you in your time of need. We love you. We're looking forward to being with you again. Thanks for your patience this morning. And we look forward to celebrating in person, face to face with you.